is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Patrick Serrano, and I am a Lifetime movie expert.
And I'm Dan, and I despise Lifetime Christmas movies, and this is the Deck Time Lifetime Comp with a Boy Guy podcast.
Oh boy, that was the worst one yet, and we've only got two to go.
See, you know what? You know what's wild is I 100% was ready to go, and then I looked up and saw the wrong screen in the background, and that threw me.
Yeah,
something about it threw me. Like I was like,
that'll do it.
That'll do it.
Patrick, hello to you, my friend.
We're here. We're at the peak of Lifetime Christmas movies. It's amazing.
How is this the peak?
We've done it.
It's a late peak.
It's a late peak.
Last weekend was probably the peak. You got Mario Lopez. You got the blended family one. That's the peak, right? Well, Reba was probably the peak.
He's the Lifetime movie expert. It's the peak. It's the peak.
I think Mario Lopez is the peak here. We've hit it. Like that's it.
Reba was like the peak. Like there was an incline and then like a
spike.
Huge spike, and that spike is just like it then went back down. It was like just a little bit lower than the peak.
Interesting.
It's peak minus.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, it's definitely not a linear up thing.
No, it's definitely
peaks and valleys.
That's right. For sure.
It's like Lifetime's like the stock market.
Yes, but this is the peak.
Bye.
According to Patrick.
Yes.
Now, Patrick, how's the daily movie going for you?
So, gotta be honest, I'm not watching them daily. So I binge them like one day, like out of the week, and I'm like, all right, let's go. And they are so bad that I can just 30 seconds that movie. And you know, I know that I'm writing a review blog, a recap blog, but you really get the gist. They talk the same thing over and over. You're like, okay, I got it. No, they're bad. The acquisitions are
how
I have heard. I haven't seen many outside of what we've watched. I've watched a couple other ones, but I've heard it's just been an atrocious season of Lifetime Christmas.
Well, how did that happen?
It's not even like very well. Here's the thing: Hallmark always has the formula, so there's comfort in the formula, and you're gonna get your Christmas. I feel like some of these movies are just forgetting that it's Christmas completely, and they're just like, it's just decorated for Christmas, and we're doing a royal romance type of thing, or like, it was bad. Marcus Rosner had a British accent, and that sent me to hell. That sent me to hell.
Well, and here's the thing too.
I can't imagine Marcus Rosner British accent.
Here's the thing too: is like. The daily ones, the ratings are so weird because they're not good. And then there's been a couple movies that the day after when they show it again, it gets better ratings on the second day than it did when it premiered, which is just like really weird, unheard of from what I understand. So I don't know if I'd be interested to see how Lifetime would spin this because I don't think it's been successful just looking at the ratings. I don't think it's been what they hoped for, but I could be wrong. I don't know. What's your observation?
So Hallmark is very much appointment television. Now they've added the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. People tune in to watch these movies. Thousands of people on Twitter, it's always popping. And I'm like, yes, I'm here. I'm Lifetime. And they're like, boo, you suck. No, just kidding. They accept me and they like me. But on, you know, on Lifetime, it's not appointment television. Like the Kelly Rowland one, maybe the Reba, you pick out the ones you want. Yeah. And then the ones that, like we're saying, are airing daily, you know, Lifetime's not something you turn on on a weekend where you're going to be like, I'm going to watch a Lifetime movie this weekend. No, you're going to have it on Sunday when you're like doing laundry or whatever. So that's why you're getting like the re-airs get more views. And I see that on my blog too. Like the movie comes out, it'll take a week for it to catch on. And then all of a sudden, like thousands of people are like searching for this movie because they're catching it on a rewind or a DVR.
That is fascinating. So, I mean, it's just fascinating. But can you help me out, please? The Kirk Franklin one, worth my time at all?
Ooh, yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, good to know. Good to know.
I think there's some fun things, like the singing in that obviously is amazing, but it's all canned music. They're not singing live, no. So it's bad. I didn't like that. And you know, like the plot was fine, but you know.
Got it. Good to know.
I don't know. I think if you like Kirk Franklin and you like gospel music, it's definitely for you. But just the little production things bothered me about that movie.
Mm. Yeah. I think the terrifying thing while we're talking ratings is that Hallmark's double features on Thanksgiving week worked.
Like yeah, the that six is and the eight, just awful.
The ratings were really good. And so that's terrifying. Because
is that what happened? I missed the 6
p.m.
movie completely. I'm like, what's Christmas in Tahoe? How did I miss that?
That's Christmas funny. CEO.
Yeah, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they aired 2 movies a night, 1 at 6 and 1 at 8. And so
that's smart.
Instead of doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like they had done the prior years,
hated that.
And so the ratings were really good. And so I don't know if that's a Thanksgiving week thing or if they're going to try to experiment with, like, that's how we get more movies on is, you know, we do the double features.
Saturday they had the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries at 10.
Oh, yeah.
So they had a 6, feature. 8, and 10. You could do a triple feature on that Saturday after Thanksgiving, which...
Dare to dream.
Oh, my gosh.
Gotta say, I've done that before. Definitely in pandemic times. I definitely did a 6, 8, and a 10.
Yep. We did the six in a row movies.
We watched all 6 of them.
And so that's not advisable.
No, it is not. No. Brain was full mush. I was done.
Yeah, it's tough. You guys want to dive into to the Santa Fe?
Would love
Holiday
to.
In Santa Fe.
Yes.
Holiday yes. in Santa Fe.
Is this the Mario Lopez?
Holiday. Yeah. What? Mario Lopez.
Can he only work in New Mexico?
I think he might live there.
And
I
so that's his thing?
I don't actually know, but I'm here for it.
Okay.
And they are actually there because they do like a whole tour of the town.
But this isn't his first movie.
Yes. No, I know.
No, he's just like repping for I don't know, New Mexico. Wow. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
There maybe you have it.
I don't know. Is that close to California?
I don't know how the country works.
I don't know geography.
The Southwest is just one big situation.
Okay. If there's one thing I don't know, it's like the Southwest... the Northeast, the Northwest, I don't really understand any of that. The Southeast, I got that, I think, on lock.
Yeah. Know that one for sure.
Good. Well, that's good. I mean, I know like East Coast, but I thought, well, actually no, because I thought, New England was a state.
Oh, gracious.
I just found this out recently. I was like, they have a football team. They're like, no, that's not a state. I'm like, but the New England Patriots, that's like a state, right? No.
Well,
nope.
The geography holds for us because there's an entire state in between New Mexico and California, and it's called Arizona. So Santa Fe.
I've heard of it. I've heard of it.
Santa Fe, not That's near where, California.
Phoenix is?
Yeah, Phoenix.
Phoenix.
H is silent.
Oh boy. It's a silent H. It's Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay, we all need to go back to school. We need to go back to geography class, clearly. Yes.
Good thing I don't teach
history. Patrick, take it away for us, buddy.
Yes, so we have Holiday in Santa Fe. Gotta sing it. It stars Mario Lopez.
AC.
This name I don't know. Emerald Tubia.
Nailed
and
it.
Amy Garcia.
Yeah.
Just commit to it. So we have, we obviously start off in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And there's Mario Lopez walking around the town. He is like George Bailey at the beginning of It's a Wonderful Life, right? He knows everyone in the town. He's like, hey, Mr. I'm trying to think of like a person from that movie. Mr. I don't know. Bailey. Bailey's the bad one.
You can say, hey, Mr. Bailey. That's fine.
Hey, Mr. Bailey. Hey, banks and loans, all that type of stuff.
Wait, know? No, Mr. Bailey's not the bad one. Porter's the bad one.
Yeah, Potter.
Potter.
Oh, Potter.
George right, Bailey's right. the good
George
boy.
George Bailey's the good yeah, thumbs up for Bailey.
He's saying hi to himself. You're right.
Hi, Mr. Bailey. Hello.
He's lost it. But he's just walking around. He's like throwing footballs to college jocks. And I'm like, this is great. He's like tipping a mariachi band and... I mean, this is really happening. This is not me exaggerating. He is telling everyone, hey, come to my store, my family store. It's called Casa de Milagro, which means miracle.
Ooh, yeah. The house of the miracle.
The house of the miracle.
Yeah. House of the miracles. So he goes to the store. The store is popping. His sister Maggie and his dad work there, and they're like, hey, what's up? And apparently he like wants to like sell the business. Yeah. Like he doesn't want to sell the store. He wants to like kind of like if Hallmark was going to buy like a mom and pop decorating store. That's what kind of reminded me of. And, you know, that's they're going to like partner and then like distribute, like Hallmark would distribute. And yes, that's basically what he wants to have happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does.
Makes sense to me.
The Hallmark stand in here is warm wishes. So.
Okay. Warm wishes, everybody.
Warm wishes.
Yeah.
Gee.
Yes. So there is a representative from Warm Wishes coming. Her name is Belinda. She is beautiful. She is put together. She has a sassy gay assistant. And let me tell you, I was very offended that I did not get the call for this because I really would have killed this. Okay.
You would have done way better.
Didn't get any sort of audition. Nothing.
All he did was talk on the phone. Okay. I brought my phone to practice. Belinda. Hi, Belinda. Oh my gosh. Guess what happened? Something terrible.
What?
Okay. Bye. Gotta go. I can't tell you. Goodbye.
Private jet.
Scene. How did I do?
Oh my gosh.
You crushed it.
You crushed it.
How have you not been in movies? I mean, I'm saying.
Wow.
Well, I have.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's true. Oh, but it got pushed. Remember a couple weeks ago when I was like, oh, I have a big announcement next week. Next week, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
It got pushed.
So. Yeah, but not because of you.
No,
because it's not Christmas related or sleigh bells related. So they were like, let's put it in a normal time where people will watch it. Yeah. So that's what happened.
They want the primetime viewing on the Patrick.
That's right.
Yes. Moving on. But I did have a premiere party and a red carpet and everything with no movie. So that's my life.
Man, that is a Lifetime movie in and of itself.
Someone take my picture.
Yeah, take my picture, please.
Step and repeat just as Patrick on it.
The star.
Yes, the star of the movie, obviously. So anyways, they didn't cast me, but they cast this guy. And he's like funny, but literally only acts on the phone. He never interacts with a human being the whole movie. Love that for him. Mm-hmm. And Belinda is put up in a 5-star hotel in Santa Fe by Mario Lopez. And she's like, oh, well, I don't think I'm going to stay the whole time. This is just like a locked deal. All I just got to do is like sign the paperwork. So I'll be in and out. No big deal.
Yeah, you could, you know, because they're the big boys. Big they got boys. The money. We'll just throw the money at them and they'll be like, great. This is wonderful.
Open and shut case.
You've met the wrong family.
Yeah. Totally.
You don't just walk into Casa de Milagros.
No, you do not. And you crushed that.
Thank you.
So Mario Lopez has a niece, okay? And I'm going to just talk about the niece for a little bit because she happens to be Mario Lopez's real life daughter.
Oh, my.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And you can actually tell because she has that like Mario Lopez, hey, preppy, like.
Yeah, she was great.
She's got the sass. She's got charisma, let's just say. They go to an ice cream store and she does this little like pouty face and like flirty, like not flirty because she's like 12, but she like compliments the shop owner to like jump the line and get ice cream before everybody else. And I'm like, damn, she's good. I want her to take me to an ice cream store.
It's not weird
at all. Nope, straightforward.
It's totally cool. You know, I'll pay for the ice cream. She just has to like get me to jump the line. Okay, I'm not asking her to buy me the ice cream. Jeez, she's a kid.
Everyone likes ice cream. Everyone just shut up.
That's right. Everyone loves ice cream.
But no, it was cool to see the daughter, Mario Lopez's daughter, and like see that she has like some of his charisma. So that was like really nice. And they got to work together on a movie. So that's adorable.
And do a TikTok dance. So
I mean, come on. I'm sure that was fire.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
So Mario Lopez meets up with Belinda. They do like a little tour of the place, the store, and she realizes that Mario Lopez didn't really tell his family about like the money that she's throwing at this to because they're like, we don't want to sell.
Yeah, they're all very like standoffish, like what is she doing here type thing. Because they Warm Wishes wanted to buy it back in the day, back when the mom was still alive and running the store.
Oh, okay.
And so she said, I will never sell to Warm Wishes.
Not to Warm Wishes. Not those, on your life.
Not to those capitalistic punks.
The worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, because they make like these very specially blown, like glass blown heart shaped miracle wish things.
The small store does.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do like special decorations, like very unique and very intricate. So
they have this once a year, they like unveil like the, you know, it's like the keepsakes, basically like Hallmark keepsakes. Like once a year, we're going to unveil the ornaments for the year. And it's like this big thing. And so they're worried that if we sell it, that will go away. And that's like the heart of the store, essentially.
So Mario Lopez, like, let's get out of here. He takes her on like a tour of the town, and there's Winterfest this year. So it's like a big full of traditions that they do in Santa Fe, like a ham toss, which,
classic ham toss situation. Yeah.
They literally just toss a ham, and Belinda like has a good arm on her and she throws that ham really far. And they're like, dang, you're good. You must like play football or whatever. And then they do a chili pepper tasting, and they got the gloves, and like she's like eating the no chili problem. Peppers like it's like, you know, I don't know, a carrot. And she's like, yum. But Mario Lopez is dying.
Yeah.
He's like crying. He can't take it. Have you guys seen the video of Mario Lopez sniffing salt, like doing the salts, like those Epsom salts or whatever, to like after you work out you like sniff salts?
Not what? Only have I not seen that, I also have never heard of.
I don't know
saying.
What you're talking about right now.
So you work out and then you do you sniff it, like do you snort it?
You don't snort it, it's like smelling salts. So you like hold it like away from your face and you smell it to like jolt you awake, you know.
Why would you need to do that after you worked out?
It like helps like get more oxygen in like your muscles or something.
Is that true or are you making that up?
Come on.
It sounds good, right?
It does sound good, man.
I am looking up smelling salts after working out right now.
Yes. So Mario Lopez did this.
Oh, you posted the video. It's on Lifetime on Court. Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He gets too close to the smelling salts and he's like, and this is basically how he reacts in the movie. Like, I'm like, he's really channeling his smelling salt experience to these peppers.
Oh wow, he really—he
really goes. He's having a
hard.
After it.
He's having a hard. No, buddy.
Oh yeah, man. The video is on my blog. You should check it out. I would play the audio, but Dan will make fun of me.
I would never.
And really, he's just like, "Why did you do this to me? Why did you make me?" Because he just holds it too close to his face, and he like really goes through it. It's great.
I still don't really get it as a thing, but I'm happy that it works for people. You know.
It does. Well, and Mario Lopez is like a workout champion. He's like 48 and like in the best shape of his life.
Yeah. He looks phenomenal.
We review Saved by the Bell episodes. And when the guy is 16, he looks like he's 22. He just has this thing where he looks the same age, you know.
It's amazing.
For his whole life. It's unbelievable. Talk about
his good plastic surgeon.
His niece is Amy Garcia. And that can't be right. Is that the character? Amy Garcia is too old to be his actual daughter, right?
Oh no, the daughter, the niece's name is Frankie.
Okay, but the actor Amy Garcia, because she's in like Lucifer. I've seen her and stuff.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, Amy Garcia in this movie plays Magdalena Ortega. Who is that?
Oh yeah, that's his sister, Maggie.
Okay, okay, yes, okay. Yes, yes, that yes, makes yes. more sense now. Now
no, I'm his daughter's a little girl.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Hey, little girl.
Okay.
Ice cream.
So, speaking of our little diva star, she does her TikTok video here. She has Mario Lopez and Belinda jump in, and they got moves. They're just like doing all the TikTok. Like, I can't even do it, but it's crazy. It's amazing. And Belinda's like so charmed. She's like, you know what? I'm going to stay in town. I love your family. I love ham tosses. I love peppers. I'm in. She's like, we're going to go to dinner and do a business dinner, not a flirty date dinner. It's a business dinner. And that's what I tell all my dates too. I'm like, hello, date. We're going on a business dinner. I know I just called you date, but this is not a date. It's how you set the bar low. And that's then right. When it feels like a date, then you're like, oh, I guess it's a good business dinner.
What a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
This business dinner turned romantic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
I love it.
And, you know, at the business dinner, that's exactly what happens. They discuss past relationships.
She's wearing that margaritas. Dress.
Oh my God. The dress is like a red, like fitted dress.
It is beautiful. Not a business dinner dress.
No,
even sir. The waiter comments uh-huh. And he's like, you look good. Like, whoa. And Mario Lopez is like, hey, that's my date. I mean, business date.
The waiter at this restaurant, if we had a What the Hallmark segment on this show, that would be because I have all the questions about how he is the way that he is, because he's fantastic. He's very intrusive.
Well, my What the Hallmark now is just looking this up. The leading lady here is 16 years younger than our Mr. Lopez.
No, she is not.
16.
He would never have known.
I mean,
I don't know. This is not a knock on her because she looks great, but I assume that they were right there together.
1973 to 1989.
Wow. Perfect match. Perfect match.
Perfect match.
That's unbelievable. Mario Lopez just looks so young.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's going to be 50 in a year and a half.
We need to talk to him, whatever he's doing. We need to get the smelling salts. I mean, jeez.
If all it takes is smelling salts, then I will smell the salts. Good Lord. Anyways, yeah, so they're at the restaurant.
Yeah, so the restaurant happens. The waiter is like very much in their business, and I love that. Yeah, basically the restaurant kind of just like they just have like a romantic date. So when he gets home, like Mario Lopez, his family's like, "Ooh, how was your business? Whatever." They're like, "We know that you're like selling us out for like a beautiful woman," and they're all razzing him like families do, which I like. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like this also happens in Hallmark movies, but like the thing I like about Lifetime movies is things aren't always like perfect. Like you kind of like have that family dynamic where you kind of like make fun of each other a little bit. And I love to see that in a movie. It's just like, not that my family makes fun of me all the time, but you know, you can have a little bit of fun with it. Right.
Yeah. If your family's listening to this episode, they got nothing. There's nothing to make fun of in this episode.
No.
We're knocking it out of the park. This is a great episode. This is spotless.
Absolutely. So Mario Lopez, the dad, his name's Jose. He is the town Santa. He rides around on the fire truck. And instead of saying ho, 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 he says ho, ho, Jose, which I loved.
No.
They did.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
But that's his name. So I'm like, he's like maybe like, you know, ho, ho, Jose, like himself.
But he's given up the bit at that point. He's given up that he's not Santa Claus. Right.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, the kids just kind of are like, Jose, you classic crazy Jose. Guy. Yeah. They don't care. They're like, just give us the presents. They give all the presents out.
Yeah.
And then Belinda sits down and talks with him, and he explains that customers aren't customers. They're familia. Okay. Like, this is real. This is like my livelihood.
And
like,
Vin Diesel popped in and said, it's family.
Yeah, that's right. Dom. Dom showed up.
Is family. Christmas ornaments are family.
Family.
That's the scene.
I don't get this reference.
Do you really not?
You've never seen Vin Diesel say family?
I've seen Vin Diesel in like a movie where it was like very dark, and it was like a scary movie about the dark.
Pitch Black. This is what you saw.
Pitch Black.
You've never seen
any Fast and the Furious movie, Patrick?
The memes where Vin Diesel is saying family from Fast and the Furious?
I've never seen Fast and the Furious ever.
First of all, you're not missing anything.
No, you're not.
However, Vin Diesel over the last 20 years has not progressed.
No, he's not.
as an actor. And he still slows down to say family.
Yeah. Family.
Family. And he's all about family in those
movies. All about fam.
Family's very important.
Well, you know, that's good to have family values. And I thought he was doing a music career, but maybe that's not right.
Vin Diesel?
Yeah, I thought he had like a song out, and it was pretty good.
What?
I'm looking this up.
That right can't be true. So family. That's it.
I love it. I'm pretty sure.
He has a song called Feel Like I Do, and he has a song called Days Are Gone, both October of 2020.
Wow.
I think it wasn't that bad.
You want me to hit you a little bit of it?
Just give me a quick pull up the boombox. Give me just a smidge of this. I don't want to get flagged.
Yeah, we got to wait for ads. Hold on.
You can't skip that?
Now I can.
Here we go. Family.
Uh-oh, a Facebook user says the song's not good, but hey, I have terrible taste.
No. Take it away. I don't hate that. Great. I don't hate that. He's got that voice. He's like, you, we go, but I do the behind there. But it's good. I like that. I need more of that after the show, please.
Here's the thing. It's kind of like Jessica Simpson, right? It's not good, but you're surprised that it's better than you thought.
You're
right?
Surprised that it exists.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's Vin Diesel.
You're surprised it exists, and you're like, oh, I like this.
Yeah, sure.
You know. Yes, we got real sidetracked here, but now you know, people, and this is why we're here, right? We're not here to just talk about Christmas Lifetime movies. We're here to talk about important things like Vin Diesel's music career.
That's right, and family.
All right. So the family. There you go.
I love it.
Just for you, Brent.
Man,
I can pick up a bit. I also okay.
I just love. We can reel him in by the end of it. It's great. I love it.
All right. I'm not just here for business. I'm not just here for recaps. I'm here for bits.
But, I love it.
Okay. Belinda and the family eat tamales together. And, you know, sometimes I hate this in TV movies where they're like really leaning into the like, we're doing a Latinx thing and it's a tamale time. But this was a little bit more true to life. They talk about Mario Lopez like, oh man, I ate breakfast tamales this morning and I don't want to eat tamales again for dinner. And, you know, like a normal conversation. And Maggie's like, oh, I could make you empanadas if you want or whatever. And like everything, like the Latinx, like kind of food spectrum, like I'm half Ecuadorian, like they don't have tamales in Ecuador. They don't have tacos in Ecuador, right? They just have like rice and like a meat. Like that's it. You get rice and a meat. My friends came to Ecuador this like a couple months ago and they were like, we want to eat authentic food. And I'm like, dude, like authentic food here is very American. They just eat like steak, chicken, rice, period. Yeah. Wow. Soup sometimes.
An occasional, you know, soup, so with like, the meat and rice.
Yeah, they were like very upset that they did not get their like Mexican food. But I'm like, you're in a whole nother country. Here we are. So I like that it's like a matter of fact. Like the tamales are just part of what they eat, like for breakfast, for dinner. Like, you know, it's just like their culture. Yeah. So
also at this dinner, nice. There's a little bit of a flare up. Because the sister, what's her name? Is it Melinda?
Maggie.
Maggie. She's supposed to be working. Like, she's taken over the glass blowing, the ornament making. And so there's a big pressure on her to unveil this year's ornaments. And I think it's the first year since the mom passed away. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes.
And so it's the first year without mom. She's like, all the pressure's on her to put out these ornaments and nobody knows what she's working on. And she's being very like, I just can't, this is too much. I don't know if I can do it type of thing. And so somebody says something and she's like, just back off, shove off, basically type of thing.
Got it.
So that's important to know.
Yeah. And she's like an artist, you know, like she's like, that's why she cares so much about what she's doing. And she's putting a lot of artistry into it that she's nervous to unveil it because it's not necessarily what her mom was doing. It's like her own thing. So she's very nervous. We actually get to see the glass blowing, like thing, you know, like where you put the thing in the fire and it's like hot lava.
I love glass blowing.
It's so cool. And my brother and his girlfriend like did glass blowing in college. I'm like, that was a college course that you did?
I mean,
that's
come
amazing.
On.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they like really love glass blowing and like say that it's really cool. And what I love here is that we have a female glass blower, you know, it's not just like the men do it. It's like, there's a long history of the females in the family, the matriarchs doing this
in
their family. So yeah. And she's like in there with the gloves. She's got the goggles, like, you know, putting it in the water and like molding it. It was really cool. I love seeing anything like that. Like if we're ever going to do like a Christmas movie and, you know, you want to build a snowman, do glass blowing instead. Just do glass blowing instead.
Big glass.
I love that.
There's a guy, you should watch Blown Away on Netflix. It's a reality show where they, it's a glass blowing reality show.
How do you have competition for that?
Oh, it's so good. They had a Christmas. They had a Christmas season this year and it's great. Big fan. Glass blowing.
Oh, go. Cool. Okay, I will check that out because I think glass blowing is very cool. And so does Belinda. She's like, oh, wow, this shop is great, or the workshop or whatever they call it. And she's like, your artistry is so amazing. And I think your mother would be very proud of the work you're doing here. And then Maggie's like softening up to Belinda. She's like, oh, that was really nice of her to say. And it is
just
nice
like she's planning. I'm going to wear her down.
She's with a big corporation.
Warm wishes. Warm mother wishes. Duckers.
Random moment here, but I was going to bring it up because, Brian, I want to see if you notice. Belinda references another Mario Lopez Christmas movie, Feliz Navidad.
She's like,
I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home to the hotel and watch Feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And I'm like,
is Mario Lopez playing himself in this movie?
That's right.
It was so, right. Why not reference any other Lifetime one. Christmas movie? Like, it is a weird, I love the bit of saying, I'm going to like go watch a Lifetime Christmas movie. Like, I think that's fun.
But yeah.
A Mario Lopez Lifetime Christmas movie is a weird one to include. Yes. Right?
It took me out of it for a minute because in my review, he's so famous, I can't not write Mario Lopez. Like, yes. I don't care what his character name is. I was like, oh damn, wait, is Mario Lopez really Mario Lopez in this? I'm good. I like looked on IMDb. I'm like, okay, no, he's Tommy or whatever, whoever.
Whatever. Tommy.
Family.
So the gay assistant calls back. And I can say that cause I'm gay. he calls back and he's like, oh no, Belinda. Oh wait, I'll do it. Oh no, Belinda, guess what happened? There are terrible, racist things that the designers put out, these really stereotypical Mexican things, like a Santa in a poncho with a piñata, saying like, let's taco about Navidad. Mm-hmm. And she like looks at her phone. She's like, looking, she's like, oh no. Oh, this is bad. This is bad. I can't,
wow.
I can't be associated with this. I have to tell Mario Lopez.
Yeah. The reason they did this is because, Mario, part of the deal that Mario wanted to make was that they would still get to create the ornaments, the lines, and they would basically distribute them. And so these are the ornaments that the people came back with. Like, here's what we want. Like, as our ornaments.
Warm wishes think that that's going to fly.
Well, I think is what they think.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know in 2021 how anybody would think that was cool. I like that they were addressing that in the movie because I'm sure Mario Lopez in his long career of being like the only like Latinx, like I think he's I think he's Mexican, but I don't know for sure. But like, think about it. He's been in the public eye as like a Latinx character, person, actor, representative for years. So he must have experienced this at some point in his career, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I would assume so.
Like, he might have legitimately gotten a script where he has to say, let's talk about Christmas. And
right.
Like, maybe you have to figure it like... Like I imagine that's been a thing. Like they try, like that's a fine line when you're trying to work in your culture into these movies, which we love. But then if you have like a white person writing the script, trying to write that culture, things can get sticky. And so that's how this felt. Yeah. Like they had these white executives coming up with ideas they thought they were like, no, this will work. This will be great. Like this will sell.
And my family, like in Ecuador, they love piñatas. I swear to you, every birthday we do a piñata. I mean, look, the piñatas happen, okay? But when that's like Santa Claus holding a piñata, like, come on. Like, right. That's not but cool.
The leading lady in this movie works for that executive.
Yes.
Company, and she is Mexican American.
Yes, she's offended by this.
Okay, she is.
Yes,
okay.
She got the email. That's why her friend is calling her and is like, "Hey, you're not going to like this.
Okay, okay.
These are the designs that they want you to show the people."
Yes, okay. And she calls up her boss and she's like, not cool. And the boss is like such a jerk about it too. He's like, I'm on vacation. This is my one time off and you're calling me. I'm like, whoa. Slow down.
Simmer there, down. Sir.
Like, you need to hear what she's saying. And she basically tells him, like, come to Santa Fe immediately. This is unacceptable. I'm putting my job on the line. Like, if you don't come, like, I'm out. The deal's done. There's something special here that you need to see and witness to understand what this culture is. And you will not know it unless you come here and experience it for yourself, which is true for any culture. Like, when you're traveling the world, and everyone should, like, really immerse yourself in that culture because you can learn a lot.
100%.
It's awesome. Yep. And that's what she wants the boss to do.
Boss can't do it.
Of course.
Just too much of a jerk.
He does.
He does. Oh, okay.
No, end up doing. He does. So, but we'll get there because we, of course, have to have the part where Belinda tells Mario Lopez and he's very upset.
Because he's like, fight, she's like, know? Hey, let's talk about Christmas is what they want. And he's like, you didn't even take our ideas to the boss. And she's like, yes, we did. This is what he sent back. But he like doesn't believe her type of thing. Like,
yeah.
We had a plan. And if you pitched a plan, they wouldn't have come back with this, basically. But that's not true.
Right. And it's like one scene, the next scene, they like forgive each other. Yeah, they're at the Winterfest, all good. And Frankie makes like a little video to play about like the town and her family. And I got to say, again, I'm like boosting this kid up. She should like produce reality television because it was like really well produced.
Yeah, I don't really, if you're not in the family, I don't know how much that video does for you, like at a town event. It's very focused on their family.
Polished.
Yeah, and TikTok videos, but it is very well done. Yeah. Excellent job.
Very, very well done. And heavily featuring a dancing cactus who is the star of the movie. I need that dancing cactus.
It's
in my
like,
life.
You know, the dancing Santa things like that. It's that, but it's a Christmas cactus.
Oh,
and he's
boy.
Just like this. That's and everybody's holding it around, and it's great.
You're for that.
So cute. So Maggie then, of course, unveils her art, and it's a tree with these ornaments that's like made in her mother's legacy. It's very emotional.
What did you think of it?
I had to rewind because we barely see it. Like we see like 2 seconds of it, and I don't think it looked great.
Oh, it looked real bad. It looked real bad. It was unfortunate. I really thought it was going to be better.
The ornaments were good. But the tree itself. The tree itself. Like a paper.
But that's the bad. Display. That's part of the deal.
Man.
Like the display is.
Can't have that.
No, it was. It was unfortunate.
Yeah, but everyone's very impressed. Of
everyone
course,
loves
like,
it.
Wow, this is great. The boss shows up and he's like, "Wow, Belinda, you were right. This is amazing."
And the boss like has a cop with him. What's the deal with the cop?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he's like escorting him through the festival.
Right.
Or something.
It was a weird bit with the cop,
he's got
but
security
nevertheless,
detail. That's
yes,
right.
He's a big fan of the art. He thinks it looks good. So I don't know. What
there
I'm
you
talking
have
about.
It.
And then we get like a Shark Tank thing going, like Barbara's there and Mr. Wonderful's there and like, they're all like-
Cuban couldn't make it, Cuban couldn't make it.
Yeah, oh no, he's too big. He's too big for a lifetime. They're like, we'll give you 30% for, $100,000, and they were really talking business, and I was like, I don't understand anything, but they work out a deal, basically, is what happens at the end. And they really get into the minutia of like, I'm going to distribute, and like, I have a warehouse.
It's going to bring a lot of, you know, jobs to Santa Fe. Keeping everything in Santa Fe. So basically everything they wanted, they got in the deal, which is great.
Yes. But more importantly than the deal,
they got each other.
No.
Okay.
Dan, this is really what you've been wondering the whole time sitting here. Belinda won the ham toss.
Oh, the ham toss. How could we not?
She won. She won the ham toss. She threw it the furthest.
Man.
Big time.
Yeah, and then they do get together. And they do get together, but yeah, the ham toss.
What's the ham toss?
Yeah, they kiss and they're like, hooray. And she calls Kevin the gay guy. The gay assistant. Man, I'm really
good. Wow. You just descended here.
Yeah. I'm like, he is like, wow, it sounds like your life is a rom-com. And they're like, it is. And then they kiss and then the tree lights in the end.
And she gets a promotion. Yeah, the boss gives her a promotion for like sticking it to him and like making him come.
Oh, of course.
And
of
like
course,
she gets to go to like Cancun whenever she wants to on a private jet. I don't know the logistics
of
that.
It was Cabo.
Right. Yes.
Cancun is so like 2003. Okay.
That's MTV spring break.
Two on the nose there.
yeah, Cabo.
But happy ending.
Of course.
So, Dan, we'll start with you since you haven't seen the movie and you're only going on your imagination and what we tell you.
Yep.
What are you thinking about this movie? Pour it out, put a cork in it.
I feel like it's pretty evident that you two really like this movie. Like, I feel like you guys were pretty energized.
No, I don't know.
By what's going on here. It sounds awful to me. It just sounds terrible in spite of your best efforts. So if I'm grading on you two, I mean, I would pour it up, but if I want to watch it personally, this is where the rubber meets the road here, guys. It's tough. I'm still going to put a cork in it. I have no desire to watch this movie, so it's a put a cork in it for Dan.
Okay.
Sorry to bring down the mood.
That's fair. No, the thing about put a cork in it or pour it up, it's not necessarily a value judgment, okay? How we're rating them.
It's a feeling.
It's a feeling. You're going with your gut. It's a gut reaction.
It's a gut go.
Had they hired you to be the assistant, I think that turns.
That would have taken it over. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it definitely would have. Definitely would have. Bran, what are you thinking?
I mean, I love this movie. I thought it was an absolute delight. I really liked the two of them together. I thought they were just charming AF. So big fan of them. The ornament was trash, but aside from that, big fan of this movie. Big fan of the Mario Lopez's daughter.
Better than the Reba?
No, I think Reba still takes it for me as the movie of the Lifetime movie of the year, because that one is just top notch. This is up notch, but not top notch.
Up notch. Okay.
I'm pouring it up, baby.
Wonderful. I'm also going to pour it up because I would agree that Reba is the gold star of the season because that was just had a lot of singing and, electric Reba. Candles. But this movie had Mario Lopez in his element. Like he's the leading man, right? Which we don't often have in TV Christmas movies. It's usually featured about the female protagonist, mm-hmm. but somehow he makes it work where he's the protagonist of the movie and you're rooting for him and you like him. And like, I'm all about a female protagonist, but for Mario Lopez, I'm like, yes, I'm into this for some reason. He's just very charismatic.
Mario Lopez is just a delight.
He's dynamic.
He's just a delight.
Yeah.
So, and he's not trying to do anything dramatic. He's got the funnies and he might get mad in a scene, but he's not going to be like crying in a scene or anything like too much. Like it's very lighthearted, very appropriate for Christmas and featuring a mostly, I think, mostly a POC cast of actors of color, which we love that, and giving opportunities to other people who we might not be as familiar with to kind of have a bigger platform. So that's all. If that's what you're doing with your platform, that's awesome.
Fantastic.
So I say,
love to hear that.
Pour it up for that.
Pour it up. We did it, everybody. One down. Only one more to go. Man. Patrick, can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
I know. We did it.
Flies by.
We'll be back next week with another one of these Mistletoe in Montana, I believe it is, the Melissa Joan Hart movie.
Ooh, I would assume that's the peak, right?
I don't. Yeah.
To the double peak? Widow's peak? What is it? Is it something? What are we doing here?
I have a very hard time gauging the draw of Melissa Joan Hart. Like, I don't know if...
That was a very nice way of saying, why do people like her?
No. I really like Melissa Joan Hart. And I'm very happy that her career is... what it is with Lifetime, because she's very involved. Like, she's producing multiple movies a year. Like, she's, but it, is she supposed to be their Candace Cameron? Is she the queen of Christmas over there?
I think at one point she was. Okay. I think it's now moving on to probably like Kelly Rowland is the Candace Cameron Bure.
Okay. Interesting.
More than fair. Because
Kelly Rowland is just has a hit movie trilogy.
Yeah. Well, and judging by the ratings at Hallmark, Lacey's the new
queen. Yeah, Lacey's the new queen.
Because she has crushed it 2 years in a row.
She beat Candace.
She's always been the queen in my eyes. She's very good. And she gets to travel for her job. So she's doing it right. She's like, if I'm going to do these Hallmark movies, I'm going to travel.
Send me around the world.
What you say, Candace Cameron Bure. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Deck the Hallmark. Check out LifetimeAndCore.com for all of the Lifetime reviews throughout the entire season. It is such a fun read. You will not regret it. Until next time, maybe the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, that Greenville, South Carolina. Is produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.